Good evening again, everyone. You'll be delighted to know that I've almost got my voice back. So be prepared to be offended loudly. As we always say in Shiloh, if you're offended by the word of God, you'll either get over it and repent and get saved, or you'll be in hell. But we certainly won't be making any apologies for what God's word says. Let's just pray before we begin. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask tonight that your Holy Spirit would still our hearts to hear what you have to say to us through your word. Not what I have to say, Lord God, but what you have to say. Holy Spirit, we rely upon you to carry the word of God into people's hearts and minds, into our hearts and minds. And we're asking you tonight to do just that to the people here in Shiloh, Lord, in the hall, or to those, Lord God, tuned in on Facebook or the podcast, that you, Lord God, tonight would bring the word of God into people's hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in this series, The Return of the Man Who Never Came Back, we're continuing to look at some of the Bible passages that speak clearly. You see, the way we say speak clearly about the return of Jesus, that doesn't mean that they give us the exact time when Jesus is coming back, but it's absolutely clear from these Bible passages there is a day fixed when Jesus shall return. So we can't just cherry pick the Bible and say, well, we'll just pick out these passages about the return of Jesus and we'll remove all of the other passages from the Bible that people maybe don't like because they find them offensive. The Bible is clear. There is a day fixed when Jesus shall return. Now, for many Christians, the return of Jesus is a much anticipated event. But for the majority of people, it's a subject they either have no interest in because they refuse to believe. Now, let me make this clear also. If you finish up in hell, you can't blame Taddy Gordon. If you finish up in hell, you can't blame any preacher or teacher or anybody else. You can't blame your Christian family, anybody else. If you finish up in hell, it will be because you refused to believe the gospel. You refused to believe in Jesus. And so for many people, the return of Jesus, it's a subject that either they have no interest in because they refuse to believe that it will ever happen, or they think, ach, I've heard it all before. It's been talked about for generations and still he hasn't come back. Well, over the past 8 weeks, we've shown that God's word teaches the return of Jesus is definitely going to happen, whether people believe it or not. Seriously think about this tonight. You may be of the opinion, I don't believe that Jesus is ever going to return. Well, God says it's going to happen whether you believe or not. And this reminds me of a dream that I shared here some time ago that I had one evening where Jesus spoke to me in the dream and he said to me, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Whether people believe in me or not. And in that dream, Jesus said to me, go and tell people I am the Lord and I am coming back soon. That was the words in the dream. Now, whether I ate too much cheese before I went to bed that night or whatever, I don't know. But I'm telling you, that was the dream that I had. Jesus said, I am the Lord. Whether people believe in me or not. And I am coming back soon. Well, let me put into context what I'm going to share with you tonight. The Apostle Paul was a great man of God, but before he was called Paul, he used to be called Saul. And he wasn't always a Christian. In fact, he was a very religious, well-educated Jew who despised Christians. It's hard to see this with the Apostle Paul. But before he was Paul, he was called Saul. He was a devout Jew, and he despised Christians. And Paul, well, rather call Saul, he was present and witnessed the killing of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. In fact, it says of him that he looked after the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death. And later, Saul became a famous or an infamous persecutor of Christians. However, one day, while on his way to arrest and imprison Christians for their faith in Jesus, Saul had a powerful encounter with the Lord, who asked him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And Saul became a believer in Jesus, and his name was changed to Paul. And God used him powerfully to preach the gospel, to bring many people to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and also to establish a number of churches. Now, one person that Paul helped to disciple was a young guy called Timothy. And with Paul's guidance and help and support, Timothy was eventually ordained and left to lead a church in the Greek city of Ephesus. And Paul then went on his journeys all over the Mediterranean region preaching the gospel, but he kept in touch by writing to Timothy just to encourage him, because Timothy was just a young guy. On one occasion, Paul was made aware that some people in the Ephesian church sought to undermine Timothy because of his age. So you think that these were like older people, thought, "Who's your man here? He's younger than us, standing up there trying to tell us how it is." So they were basically seeking to undermine Timothy because of his age, and they were also seeking to preach a different gospel to the one Paul and Timothy taught. And so Paul wrote to Timothy, encouraging him to be strong, to stand up and stand against these people and their false teaching. In fact, in the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, he said to him, "Guard what has been entrusted to you." Hear that? Guard what has been entrusted to you. Well, I've said here many times, as far as the gospel is concerned, you guard the gospel, the good news about salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus alone. You guard the gospel by faithfully proclaiming it, even if some people find it offensive, even if others try to pollute it or dilute it or change it for the sake of popularity or for the sake of political correctness. We cannot alter the gospel just to make people feel happy. If people are offended by the gospel, well, tough. That's what the gospel is meant to do. For some, it is the fragrance of life. To others, the gospel is the fragrance of death, because they're heading to destruction with their fingers in their ears, refusing to believe in Jesus. They are heading to hell. We can't change the gospel just to make people feel comfortable. So let's read a little of what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm just going to read a few verses. The Apostle Paul writes these words in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. "I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Paul urges Timothy in the sight of Almighty God, because listen, people, tonight, everything that we say, do, think, everything that we do is done in the sight of Almighty God, and we will all have to give account before Almighty God on the day of judgment. And Paul urges Timothy in the sight of Almighty God, who is the giver of life, the very reason that you are in this hall tonight, the very reason that you're looking in through Facebook, the very reason that you're listening into the podcast, is because God, the giver of life, has afforded you life tonight. And if you're not a Christian tonight, he has given you another opportunity before that life comes to an end, to hear the gospel and repent and believe. Paul urges Timothy in the sight of God, who is the giver of life, and before Christ Jesus, to keep the commandment without spot. Just, he says, just as Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate and proclaimed the truth, so Paul urges Timothy, stand up for the truth. Keep the commandments without spot. What Paul means is, he wants Timothy to watch over, guard, hold fast to, keep your eye on, and maintain the gospel he has heard and he has been taught. Paul goes on, keep the commandment without spot. Don't let anything put a blemish on the gospel. Keep the commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. In other words, the Apostle Paul is urging Timothy to stand up for Jesus. Stand up for the gospel. Hold fast to it and faithfully proclaim it until the Lord returns. Hear what he says. No matter what people may think of you, no matter what they may do to you or how they may seek to undermine you, no matter what false teaching they may try to bring into the church, watch over, guard, hold fast to, keep a hold of, keep your eye on, maintain the gospel, the truth of God's word, for as long as you live or until Christ returns. Well, we know that the Lord didn't return, and thank God for it, he didn't return in Paul or Timothy's day. And so Paul could just as easily have said to Timothy, watch over the gospel, guard it, hold fast to it, keep your eye on it, maintain it, the truth of God's word, proclaim it for as long as you live. Paul is clear in this passage. There will be a day when Jesus shall appear, when he shall return. He tells us the Lord will return in his own time. And last week, Denise pointed out to us in her message that the reason Jesus hasn't returned yet is because God is patient and he wants people to be saved. And if you're in this hall tonight and you're not yet saved, it's because of the patience of God that you haven't been wiped out. It is because of the patience of God that Jesus hasn't returned, because God in his patience and his love for you wants you to be saved before it's too late. But one day, God's patience with sinful mankind will come to an end, and then Jesus shall return. And when Jesus appears, it will be too late for those who have not trusted in him for salvation. So let me ask you tonight, have you trusted in Jesus for salvation? What if Jesus returns tonight? Will your soul be lost for eternity? If God's patience with sinful mankind came to an end tonight, do you honestly, honestly know where you will spend eternity? I was watching on the BBC News on Wednesday, and it reported that a Christian woman in Pakistan who had been sentenced to death by hanging and had been left languishing in a prison for 8 or 9 years had her conviction overturned. The lady was falsely accused of blasphemy against the Islamic false prophet Muhammad simply because she had fetched water for her Muslim friends and she took a drink from the same cup as them. And that lady was accused of blasphemy. They told her because she had drank from the same cup as them, a Christian woman drinking from the same cup as these Muslim women, they told her to repent of her, renounce her Christianity, and put her trust in Allah. And the lady refused to do so, and they accused her of blasphemy. And she was left languishing in a jail for 8 or 9 years until the judges overturned that. This is Islam, the religion of peace. This is Islam, the religion of tolerance. The truth of this case is that the woman did not blaspheme the false prophet Muhammad. The reality is she was hated for being a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And thank God these judges saw sense and overturned the conviction. But this case is just one of many right around the world where those who know and love Jesus are being persecuted for their faith in him. These Christians stand up for Jesus and stand against their accusers and the falsehoods that seek to undermine the gospel, just like Paul had urged Timothy to do. And I wonder tonight if suddenly you came under the awful satanic grip of Islamic people telling you to repent of your faith or they're going to chop off your head. I wonder what you would do tonight. Would your faith in Christ be strong enough to uphold you to say, even though they slay me, still I will trust in him? We cannot succumb to the pressures of Islamic fundamentalists or anybody else or the political correct brigade. We cannot succumb to these people. We cannot pollute or dilute or compromise the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is still the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes. And if we water down the gospel, they're going to reap a false salvation. As the return of the Lord Jesus draws nearer, Christians everywhere can expect to face opposition and persecution for their faith and love for Jesus. But we have a responsibility to stand up for Jesus and stand against our accusers, those who oppose the gospel, because God has entrusted the gospel, the good news about salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. God has entrusted that gospel to us that we might faithfully tell it to others. We have a God-given responsibility to guard the truth, to watch over, to hold fast to keep our eye on and maintain the truth of God's word until Jesus returns. We guard the gospel by making it known to those who need to hear it, even if they hate us for it. The reality is, unbelievers out there may indeed mock us, scorn us, persecute us. They may even kill us. But God's word says it is the Lord that they are mocking, scorning, and persecuting. Be in no doubt, Jesus is going to return in his own time, when God's patience with sinful man has come to an end. Then the judgment will come. So let me ask, Christian, or let me say to you, Christian, again. We, Christian, we have a responsibility to guard the gospel, to stand up for Jesus and stand against the lies and the accusations railed against us and God's good news. Will you stand up for Jesus? Will you stand against the accusers and those seeking to undermine God's truth? Will you tonight, Christian, will you purpose in your heart before God, in the sight of God Almighty, who knows all things, who sees all things, will you purpose in your heart tonight to faithfully guard the gospel that has been entrusted to you until Jesus returns? Maybe tonight you're here in the hall, or you're listening in on Facebook or to our podcast, and you're not yet a Christian, you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me say it again to you. The reason Jesus hasn't returned yet is because God is patiently waiting so people like you are given another opportunity to hear and believe the gospel. Now, you have heard it tonight that you need to be saved before Jesus returns. You have heard tonight that you need to have faith in Jesus. You might ask, how can I be saved? Well, the Bible is simple. Confess your sin. And let me make this clear, as I always do. Confess your sin doesn't mean come and tell me your sin. I don't want to know. Confess your sin means confess, agree with God. When God says you are a sinner and you need to be saved, confess your sin means agree with God that you are a sinner. Say to him, Lord, I confess I am a sinner. And God's word then says, repent. Turn around, purpose in your heart tonight to turn around and turn away from your sinful ways and believe, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is clear. If you do this, confess your sin, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Turn the coin over. If you don't confess your sin, if you don't repent of your sin, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he returns and you are not prepared, you will be lost for all eternity in hell. Please, I urge you tonight, like Paul urged Timothy to guard the gospel, I urge you tonight, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you might be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, your Son, who came into this world and went to the cross and died to pay the price for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness of God. For those who believe in Jesus, all our sins are forgiven, and we have your righteousness imputed to us, and we are considered holy and blameless in your sight. But Lord, still make us a people who are ever watchful. Watchful, Lord God, to guard the gospel. Not, Lord God, to allow it to be compromised. Not allow it, Lord God, to be polluted or diluted, Lord God. Not to make it socially acceptable for the sake of popularity. Lord, help us to be people who truly, faithfully guard the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others might hear it and believe it and be saved. Father, we pray, please, that you would make us strong warriors in Christ, not to be afraid of those who accuse us, not to be afraid of those who oppose us. Lord, the worst that man can do to us is kill us, but your word says us, don't be afraid of those who can kill only the body, but fear him who can destroy the soul. Lord, we fear you. We revere your holy name. Make us strong warriors who purpose in our hearts to guard the gospel, please. Lord, we pray tonight for anyone here or anyone tuned in, Lord God, who's not yet saved. Lord, have mercy upon them. In your patience, please extend to them another opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus, your Son, that they might repent and believe in him so that they too might be saved. O Holy Spirit of God, carry the truth of this message that Jesus is coming back one day soon. Lord, carry it deep into people's hearts and minds. And Lord, may they be able to answer the question, where will I spend eternity? And we pray that it will be in heaven through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.